There are many of us who experience a bit of cabin fever in the winter months. You may find yourself eating or sleeping more. According to the Mayo Clinic, those are common reactions to the changing seasons. For people with seasonal affective disorder or SAD, the winter months can bring on feelings of depression, lethargy, fatigue, and other problems. Clinical psychologist Michael Abruzzese is here today to tell us what SAD is and how it's treated. Good morning.
Hi, Mindy.
So SAD is a form of depression, right?
Right. SAD stands for seasonal affective disorder. And many, many years ago, going back 25, there were some researchers, some clinicians who decided that they were noticing a pattern where people seem to become depressed only around the winter seasons, and winter broadly defined, you know, from October to March, something like that, not necessarily from December, mm-hmm. January, and February. And they determined that it was different. And I believe it was first localized at McLean's Hospital, and they were the forerunners of research in light therapy. Mm-hmm. The more light you were exposed to of a certain frequency, it seemed to help alleviate the depression. And they originally had huge batteries of lights. I mean, like an entire room full of lights, and it was so impractical for treatment for your standard clinician to offer, for people to offer at home. But that has changed in recent years, and now if you go online and maybe even some local supply stores, they have different kinds of fluorescent lighting that mimic light during the day, natural light, first thing in the morning, later in the day, in the afternoon. So we have a lot more economical kinds of ways to change the lighting in our homes or offices if you think that that could be helpful to you for seasonal affective disorder. And it is a form of depression, right?
And so it's, well, we're kind of jumping ahead here to how it's treated. Is light therapy the only thing, only way it's, only treatment, or are there other things?
Well, many people think that you can use some antidepressants, but the new order antidepressants, I think there's a Wellbutrin XL or something, extended release kind of medication that some people think is helpful. But the standard new line of antidepressants like Zoloft and Paxil, things like that, and Prozac, the research hasn't indicated that those things are as helpful. So the best treatment for any kind of depression, the research is pretty clear, is cognitive behavioral therapy. For many people, that's a very successful treatment. Mm-hmm. And for also for many people, medication, drug treatment, mm-hmm. if you get the right medication and it clicks with you, then that's very helpful. But it's difficult to find the right medication, and medication does not work for everyone for depression.
Well, also, too, if you have an option of doing something with, you know, of helping yourself get well without mm-hmm. taking medication, I mean, I would think most people would opt for that.
No.
If they, no, they wouldn't?
No, because the HMOs tend to push meds, mm. you know, and so most people in our culture are... And when you go to a doctor, you don't go to the doctor to tell you he's sick. You go to the doctor to get pills, right? Because they're the gatekeepers, right? Even for antibiotics in other countries, you know, in Europe and other countries in the world. I mean, you don't need a doctor's prescription to get antibiotics. You can just go to a local pharmacy or, in some places, a department store.
Is that right?
Yeah. You don't need medication recommendations for antidepressants or for stimulants, for Ritalin. These things are, you know, just sold the way cosmetics are sold here in America.
Wow.
So we go to doctors because they're gatekeepers. They give us the meds. They can't give us the, you know, sometimes if you go to a doctor and you leave without medication, you feel kind of like bummed out. What do I go to this guy for? Where are my pills? You know, I need my antibiotics or something.
So, no, but with this light therapy, is it used year-round or is it only during the winter months when people are feeling?
No, it's tend to be used only during the winter months. And whereas earlier you needed hours and hours. Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't do anything else. You were sitting in front of the lights, which is why it was so impractical. Now there's some research indicate that light therapy a couple hours a day in front of a battery of a small set of lights is enough to help mm-hmm. seasonal affective disorder.
Could you just do that? You know, say you had a sunny room in your house. If you spent some time in that room, would that be as effective or not?
Well, yeah. One of the theories is that it would be. You know, being out in the sun, and you know, sun stimulates serotonin. Some sun stimulates vitamin D in your body, and you just need to get some of it on your skin. Mm-hmm. Most times in the wintertime, the only time you get on your skin, maybe, or somewhere around your eyes. We have hats, we have mm-hmm. scarves, we have gloves. You know, the sun can't get to our bodies at all. So you need to have a little bit more sun. And if you have a sunroom, you don't need to be a clinician to realize that people love sunrooms.
Right,
and they go
absolutely.
In there, it's warm, it's inviting, it's magnificent.
I just think of the animals, my dog and cat. That's where they are. They follow the sun through the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
sleeping in that little ray of sunshine wherever it falls.
They look for it and they find it, so that's a good thing to try.
You mentioned serotonin. How does serotonin or melatonin play into all of this? Do we know?
Well, we think that SAD, SAD, is primarily melatonin related. depression, we think, is serotonin or dopamine related. And there are many different kinds of depression. People think about depression as being like a, as I said before, like a one-lane highway, like Route 6A. It's really more like an eight-lane superhighway. You've got the breakdown lane where you're really disabled. Then you have a very lighter level of depression, which could be a dysthymia disorder, dysthymic disorder, or maybe sad. And that means you tend to kind of be blue, get the blues, and you're kind of punked out pretty much all the time. And that's kind of how you are. You have like a depressive personality type thing. That's more of a dysthymia. Not a full-blown depression. A full-blown depression is where really where you're so debilitated, you can't move. You literally cannot move. You just try to put your shoes on. You just give up because it's so hopeless. And many people don't understand how debilitating a condition depression is. Most people joke about it. And physicians I've spoken to in the past, some of them have said, "Well, why don't these people just pick themselves up and get a job? What's wrong with them? Just do something."
They can't
do something. Believe me, if they could, they would. No one wants to have that feeling.
Well, it's also, I think, when you see folks who are suffering from especially severe depression, and they may have everything that's seemingly wonderful in their life, wonderful family, wonderful job, everything seems to be going well. And for whatever reason, it's like they don't know why they feel the way they do.
They don't. Right? That's correct. They don't know why, but it is a real... It is a real condition, and people love to diminish psychological conditions. They like to say there's no such thing as ADHD, and there's nothing like depression, and don't be so nervous. What's the matter? You're a worrywart. They tend to make fun of people. These are real conditions, and they're part of our body, and they exist. And most people don't realize they exist, and they don't get the kind of help that they need,
or to what extent they exist.
Well, to what extent they exist? You know, if you've been living with a low level depression for so long, that's just the way you are. You don't even notice anything. So what's the best thing to do? You know, a cheap and easy kind of way. Get out of your house and go where there are other people. Now, you don't have to go and become a chatterbox. You don't have to try and talk to people. You don't have to make friends. Go to a supermarket. Walk down the aisles of a supermarket. Just be around other human beings. Go to the mall. Go to a department store. Go window shop. Go to a bookstore. Go to a library. Excellent. Just go where there are other people and just be around other people. You don't need to speak to them. You don't need to try and be funny. You don't need to do anything. Just get out of your house and go around other people. Drink more water and try and get more sunlight. Both those things stimulate serotonin. Breathe. Do some deep breathing exercises periodically through the day. And all that stuff will help alleviate the depressive signs. But if you have depressive signs, you really should not try to treat these things all on your own. You really should try and get some professional consultation. And really that means a clinician. It does not mean a physician to go get some meds, because most physicians, especially on the Cape, there's such a shortage of them, they don't have a lot of time to spend with you. So they spend a few minutes with you. Maybe they'll give you a clinical checklist. If they think they're on top of their game, then they give out a clinical checklist, which is far better than what most clinicians do. And then they'll just give you some meds, and have you check back in a couple of weeks. Well, there are a lot of reasons why people become depressed. And you need to learn how to turn off that depression-making mechanism that's inside. There's a theory that many people have which hold that if you are depressed, depression is a reaction to something. There's something going on, and you're depressed because of it. Well, it might make a lot of sense to figure out what's going on and try and deal with that to help alleviate the depression. But there are several different types of depression, and sometimes you do need, some people only react to medication. Some people don't react at all to medication, but there's a resurgence of electroconvulsive therapy, ECT.
Right.
And some people respond with certain kinds of depression. They respond to ECT, and they don't respond to meds.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're talking with psychologist Michael Abruzzese. Our toll-free number, 866-999-4626. If you have a question about depression or seasonal affective disorder, 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@wgbh.org. I want to get back to SAD, but first I want to ask you, just talking about general depression, given everything that's going on right now with the economy and just, two wars we're involved in and all of this sort of bad news, it's not surprising that I think a lot of people might be feeling a little bit depressed right now.
Well, when you say it's not surprising, people feel a little bit depressed. Getting the blues and getting bummed out, it's one
different
thing. Well, yeah, and people think that's the same thing. If you get the blues, you're depressed. No, not the case. Let's talk a little bit about what some of the common signs are. And folks, as soon as I read this off, you're all going to think you're depressed, okay? But that doesn't mean that you are. Sometimes when you first read signs of an illness, everyone thinks they have it, no matter what the illness is. So if you're depressed most of the day, nearly every day, and that means you feel sad or you feel empty, or other people say, gee, you look pretty sad. Or if you're crying more, in kids and adolescents, you could be a little irritable. If you have depressed or diminished interest in any kind of pleasurable activity, all the stuff that you like to do, your hobbies, your friends, and whatever kind of things you like, that doesn't work for you anymore. You can't sort of bring yourself out of it. If you have a significant weight loss or weight gain, change in your sleep, you sleep more, you sleep less, and this is without any other cause for this. If you're trying to lose weight, then you can't say, I'm losing weight, I must be depressed. If you have a toddler at home and you can't get any sleep, well, that's a different reason.
Yeah.
If you have any kind of a change in your physical ability, you feel like you're moving slowly, you feel like you're moving through water, or else you're very agitated, you're very hyper all of a sudden. Again, you look for any kind of change in that. If you have a loss of energy nearly every day, if you just feel always tired, there could be other reasons for that as well. If you feel worthless, if you feel guilty about all the things you've done in the past, you have this exaggerated sense of responsibility for things that you've done that are wrong. If you find that you have a diminished ability to think or concentrate, or you can't make decisions, again, nearly every day. If you have recurrent thoughts of death, not necessarily that you're going to kill yourself, but you just think about it, that kind of stuff. Now, everybody has some of these things that float through their mind every now and then.
Right. But every now and then.
Right, every now and then. And the thing is, you have to remember two things about depressive signs. These are just some of the signs that there are. You need to have a clinician to diagnose this. You can't self-diagnose. Mm-hmm. And a clinician can tell whether it's just normal variations in the mood that people have, which is not depression, or it is a depression. Mm-hmm. And you should understand also the second thing is that a clinical depression can develop in as little as 2 weeks.
Right? Wow, 2 weeks.
So 2 weeks, usually you're over a cold. There's some cold, but there are some colds now you have like for 6 or 8 weeks. It keeps on coming back. Mm. But the clinical depression can be developed in as little as 2 weeks. So you don't need 6 months to develop a depression. It could be done in 2 weeks.
Right. And you mentioned fatigue, and you said there could be other things going on here. Is it a good idea maybe to go get a physical with your doctor, too, at the same time while you're checking this out?
That's an excellent idea for two reasons. First of all, most HMOs will pay for it, and you don't have to pay for anything once a year. And you can mention this to the doc, mention these signs. And if you want to go online, there are a lot of depression sites, and they just print out signs of depression, print that out, and bring it in to the doctor. And whatever ones you think apply to you.
They have this, and
yes,
this.
Yes, I got this, and this, and the doctor should ask you what's going on around this and this and this.
Right.
And if the stuff does not seem to have any kind of localized reason that it's happening, then those could be signs of acute depression.
Right. Let's talk to Tara, who's calling from Mashpee. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good.
Always love to hear what you have to say.
Thanks.
My question was about regarding seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And here on the Cape, we tend to wear sunglasses a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In all different seasons, I actually have the transition lenses on my glasses, and we have tinted windows in our cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I wanted to clarify: does this, if you need to have sunlight, or that's your dosage of choice, does it need to go through your eyes, or your skin should be exposed? I mean, if I wear sunglasses a lot, tinted lenses, and I wanted to know how that affected what I was receiving
I think that's a really good question. And no, it has to come through your skin. Sunlight goes through your skin, so it does not have to go through your eyes. And I think any pilot in the armed forces will tell you that they make their guys wear sunglasses a lot.
Right.
Because too much sun can really harm your eyes and increase any kind of macular degeneration or any kind of age-related changes. So it goes through your skin. You don't have to worry. You should have your skin exposed. You don't need to have your eyes exposed.
Thanks for that question, Tara. That was
Thank
a good one.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. 866-999-4626 is the toll-free number for your question or comment. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@wgbh.org. Okay, so how do you determine it's sad and not some other kind of depression?
Well, I have to label my own bias in the fact that I think sad is just another form of depression. And it may be that people who are experiencing a noticeable decrease in their functioning during the wintertime, that they're calling it sad, but in reality, they probably have a low-level depression maybe all year round, and this is just an exacerbation of that. It just makes it worse. But in general, how do you differentiate? Excuse me. Most people would think that if it comes along during the wintertime when there's diminished sunlight, and if you have many of these signs, but not the same kinds of signs. For example, if you have a decreased or an increased sleep, if your appetite changes, if you have some carbohydrate cravings, you need a lot of junk food or comfort food.
And don't we all go through that in the winter?
Well, I should say more than normal, yeah. I guess, maybe. All these things, you have to understand it's more than usual, right. Not just episodic. If you have a lot of irritability, if you're experiencing, if you're unduly sensitive or irritable to other people, if your interpersonal problems things seem to bug you more and you get more irritable, that's an indication there's something going on with you. And the first thing you want to look at is anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk to Clint, who's calling from North Falmouth. Hi, Clint.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Good. I wanted to say thank you for the program on depression. I think it's an important topic that all too often gets dismissed or kind of blown over as, not important,
right.
Or just get over it type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I suffered for depression for many years, and one of the things I found that really helped me was that I realized at some point that I was holding back an awful lot of pain from not only from childhood, but from my adult life. And basically, I wasn't dealing with how I felt. I pretty much shut down. And I used to think that depression, for me, I used to think depression was a reaction to if I feel too much, I'm going to feel all my sadness, and therefore I'm going to get more depressed. What I found was just the opposite. Once I accepted the fact that I was in pain, once I felt all the pain that I was in, I was able to move through the depression. And depression was not feeling too much pain. Depression for me was shutting off the pain and turning that pain back into myself. So once I started to feel again and cry and write and do all the things that helped me release the pain, I moved out of depression. Now when I get sad, I don't get depressed. I'm sad. And
just
for many years,
yeah.
I confuse sadness, simple sadness or emotional sadness, with depression. And my experience has been that if I felt the pain and moved right. through it, I wasn't depressed. I was just sad.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a really good point that you mentioned, and that goes to what I said before, that there are some people who have the theory that depression is just a reaction to stuff. It's really like an early warning system, and some people think it's really a gift so they can pay attention to what they have not been paying attention to.
Clint, thanks for the phone call and your thoughts on your own personal experience. We appreciate that. Now, the folks who have SAD or suffer from SAD, the rest of the year they seem perfectly normal?
They seem to be.
Seem to be, but you think that maybe they're not.
Well, they may have a low-level depression or dysthymia. That's not noticed. You know, some people are just kind of naturally grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just naturally cheery. Some people naturally kind of
right.
not fun to be around. Yeah.
And now for some people, it might be, I have a friend who I know January comes around and that's the month where it's the sleeping all the
yep.
time. And, and that's the month where you're kind of,
well,
I don't know if it's sad or not, but it seems yeah. like it's every January.
Well, it's interesting. I've talked to people and they seem to have colds every time, irrespective of what the weather's like, they seem to get colds the same time every year. And I suspect that part of it has to do with the fact that our bodies have a memory. People think about our brains being like computers, but our bodies are really more like smart machines. We remember things in our body. We remember things in our brain. We have motor memory that helps us excel as athletes, and we have certain cognitive skills that helps us excel in being scientists or researchers or quick readers. And I think our bodies remember. So if you have any kind of change that happens to your body, I think your body could remember every October, November, December, January, that you were feeling a certain kind of way, and your body clicks into that again because mm-hmm. it's learned how to do that and it's changed. And I once spoke to a physician about children's ear infections. He was telling me about the fact that adults have ear infections too, and it's not very well known, but often they do, and they go untreated, but ear infections tend to change the structure of the ear. So if that's true, if the ear infections change the structure of the ear, then if ear infections change the structure of the ear, then certainly depression changes what our body remembers about mm-hmm. how we're going to behave. So it may be some of it as simple as conditioned reinforcement.
Yeah. So if you have SAD one winter, are you likely to experience it the next?
Yeah, probably, depending on where you are. I mean, if you're in the same kind of situation, certainly this winter has been, every few years
cold.
We have really lousy winters. We have snow, we have rain, right. We have, cold weather. And it bums out a lot of people. You can get bummed out in the summertime if you have 7 days of rain. No one's
right.
happy about it.
Right.
So
but that's different than depression, though, right?
Just being a little bummed out? No, if you have 2 weeks of rain, that can make you depressed. No, really, if it's raining, it takes 14 days.
Yeah.
There are some people who are very susceptible to these kinds of changes, and it doesn't take very much to get them unbalanced. If you don't eat properly, people hate me when I say that. If you don't eat right, if you don't exercise,
sleep.
If you're doing all the things, right, get enough sleep and rest and take care of yourself, you're more prone to get any kind of infection. You're more prone to catch a cold. You're more prone to become depressed and anxious.
Yeah.
You have to
take
care of yourself.
Yeah.
If you want to study for a big exam, what's the best thing you can do besides studying? Eat well, get rest, and make sure your body's in good shape.
Right. Well, that whole when you don't have, you know, that sleep deprivation is a whole
right.
nother, because we could do a whole program on that.
We're
as
in a sleep-deprived society for a number of reasons. That's right.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Michael Abbruzzese, and we're talking about seasonal affective disorder and depression. Our toll-free number, if you have a comment or a question, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@wgbh.org. Yeah, it is a little chilly in here. All right. So do we know what causes SAD? Do we know why?
No, not really. It's the fact that it seems to be more responsive, more quickly responsive to light therapy would indicate that it's what we call an endogenous depression. It's more biologically oriented. That probably is caused by a biological change inside our bodies first rather than a cognitive change inside our head. Now, you understand that if we think a certain kind of way, we can create our own depression by thinking a certain way. And that's one of the reasons that we know that, you know, talking therapy works, because you can think your way out of a depression as well for many people. And sometimes it just happens that your body changes on the inside, and then you start to think negative thoughts, which reinforces the fact. So sometimes it's the chicken and sometimes it's the egg.
Right.
But with SAD, we tend to think it's more biologically induced to begin with.
Mm-hmm. So is there a genetic component?
There's a genetic component, but I'm not aware of any research that has isolated the genetic component for SAD as opposed to the propensity for depression. Depression is as common in this field in psychology as a cold is for medical doctors. So we're just hardwired to be sensitive to our environment. And there's a theory that indicates that if people are, you know, if you're surrounded by, and this is a really good time to talk about this environment, we have a crummy weather on the Cape Cod. The economy is not great. Sometimes, besides the economy not being great, our personal lives are not great because our economy is not, our personal economy is not terrific, and the environment is not great in the nation for economy, and that we could become depressed because of all of that, because everything is changing, you know, so it's important to understand that how we look at the environment affects how we think, and how the environment affects us changes how we think. So we're in the kind of times that it's just propensity to get depressed because there's no escape from it.
Mm.
Right. No escape.
Mike is calling from Vineyard Haven. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hello.
Good. I grew up in Australia, and like the skin cancer capital of the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've just had a basal cell thing removed from my face. And I was just curious about this light therapy thing. Does this involve UV light? I mean, are there specific light frequencies involved? Is there the risk that that by covering up with too much sun cream in summer, for example, you can bring this on?
Well, actually, that's an interesting point. There are some theories that indicate that the whole fear about too much sun in the summertime is really overblown. It's really just a scam to sell more sun cream. I don't think that's true with everyone, but it is true that if you don't get enough sun, you don't get enough vitamin D, then you are going to have some difficulties in regulating your metabolism. And I'm not aware of any research that indicates that the light therapy is going to be causing any skin cancer. It's not really UV light. It's more like natural sunlight. Sometimes I think the frequency is whatever is first thing in the morning, but I don't recall that frequency offhand. But there are some sites on the web for light therapy, people who manufacture it, and also McLean's Hospital, I believe, has an aspect of their website devoted to research and findings on seasonal affective disorder. And there's nothing in that I recall reading that indicates that it's implicated in any kind of even mild kind of skin cancer.
You know, I can't find it right now, but I was reading something about the dawn light and a study that looked at dawn light versus a light therapy, and you're exactly right. It is dawn light that they're trying to replicate.
Right. Which, by the way, you can get on the web. You know, you can have those fluorescents put in your house, and I've had them in my office for years. And it looks kind of funny at 6 o'clock at night when you're in your office because it's really dawn light, but I think it really helped a lot of folks.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the phone call. Let's talk to Kathy, who's calling from Orleans. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for this wonderful show.
Sure.
I just wanted to tell you that I found out this year that I'm allergic to gluten and wheat,
mm-hmm.
and the way that it shows up with me, I become very depressed.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I was just going to ask you if there are other people that have that.
Well, there, yes, nutritionists will tell you that that clinicians, you know, physicians and psychologists are remiss because we don't do a nutritional analysis, and there are some people who have common allergies to such things like that, and those two ingredients are pretty much in everything.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to have them because it's healthy for you, right? So you try and seek those things out. And without knowing that people are allergic to it, you can have a low, like a low-level infection. You can have a low-level depression, which just starts like a snowball effect, and you sort of kind of poisoning yourself, and you don't even realize it. So you should have a nutritionist, just like Mindy said before, you should have an annual exam, a physical exam, and part of that should include a nutritional consult. And ideally, you should get it from your doc, your physician, but they're not very well trained in nutrition here in America as they are in some other countries, and you may have to go to a dietitian or to a nutritionist. They do have some allergists who are a little bit more in tune to that, MDs who are allergists, and they might be able to help to an assessment on that. But that's a very good point to bring up.
Thanks so much for calling with that. Appreciate that info, Kathy. Let's talk to Daniel, who's calling from Orleans. Good morning. Oh, she's gone. Okay. So this is more prevalent in women than men, sad, right?
Yeah, women are just lucky. They get more of this stuff than, you know, everything
else. Is that also true for depression in general or no? It is.
It tends to be,
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's also true for personality disorders.
Is that right?
No.
Do we know why?
Well, part of it is because people don't bother to diagnose personality disorders in men. You know, they're just angry. They're just mean. They're just nasty. Well, you know, they could have the same kind of personality disorder. And when I use personality, I should say personality attribute. Everyone's got a personality disorder.
Yeah.
But yes, and a lot of men are depressed, but it comes out in aggression, and people think they have an anger problem. They need anger management. Well, they really have a masked depression. A lot of times, as our last caller mentioned, it comes out in a depression, but it's really something else. You know, she had an allergy, and it comes out as depression. Part of the hallmark of depression is extreme anger and irritability. Well, what is irritability in a big guy who has a deep voice and yells? He's dangerous. He's scary, and he needs anger management and stuff. And so he goes in for anger management, and you might have a master's level person, but not very well trained, who completely misses the depression or doesn't bother to do the diagnosis that to work up at all. And this poor guy could be getting help for depression. In reality, he's getting the wrong treatment.
Yeah. So again, it's important to check out the physical, and then also maybe if you need to go to a psychologist or nutritionist.
A nutritionist, right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Check Dr. Michael Abbruzzese, always informative when you're here. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.
The Point is hosted and produced by Mindy Todd. The executive producer is Steve Young. Production assistance from Dan Tridle and Jenny Jenker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH Radio.